Welcome, everyone, to the final Provcast of Hillary Term. Term has just ended, and for those of you listening in, you might be back at home, or you might still be in and around Oxford. But wherever you are, I hope you enjoy listening to this edition of the Provcast and that you have a good vacation. Today's guest on the Provcast is Zoe Campbell. Welcome, Zoe.
Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for having me.
Zoe, as you probably know already, is the Tinsley Access and Outreach Officer. And Zoe, how long have you been with us at Worcester?
Tomorrow, I think, will actually be my completion of my second month. I've started on the 11th of January, so still a little bit new and loving it.
Great, great. Well, we're really pleased to have you, A, in Worcester, but B, on the Provcast. Let's just talk a little bit about what you've done before coming to Worcester. I know you joined us from the law faculty, and before that you were at Brooks. But tell us when you arrived in the UK and how you ended up landing in Oxford.
So for those that don't know, let me just really proudly and clearly state I'm from Barbados.
Great.
Okay. Love my island in the sea, but my parents spent a lot of time in the UK. They were part of the Windies generation that came up, and then they went back to Barbados. And so they were very, very much encouraging of me and my brother, my two brothers, to further our educations as much as possible. So we all ended up coming to university in the United Kingdom, and I ended up at our sister university up the hill, Brooks. I did law business there, and then I stayed on to do the admissions officer work there for too many years for people to be asking specific details. But let us say I've been here since the last millennium.
Right.
And I loved it. Met my husband at university, met him in Oxford, love Oxford, stayed here. And then I got the opportunity to work with the law faculty for a couple of years and really loved that as well, right, too. And then Worcester said, come on over. And I was like, lunch, please. Yes, thank you. And I'm very, very happy with that decision. So that's a quick little rundown.
Yeah, no, great, great. Just going back to your parents, they're back in Barbados.
Yes, unfortunately, my daddy passed away last year. But what he was so, so proud of me working for the University of Oxford.
Brilliant.
It was a massive little bragging rights to him. My eldest brother, he's a barrister, and he didn't get as much bragging rights. And I know that probably irked him a little bit. But I'm a daddy's girl and a mommy's girl, so I was happy to take that attention. Yeah. So yes, they live back in Barbados. One thing I want to say is the law faculty and the University of Oxford, and I get the feeling that's going to be the same here at Worcester, was very supportful when that was going on with my family.
Right.
And so that's something that I think I kind of love and made me feel like Oxford felt a bit more family-like. It wasn't like, oh, you have to move on. It was just like, what can we do to help you? And it was really, really nice. But yep, my mom still lives in Barbados, still speak to her every other day. And I think she wants the number for the academic office so that if I don't call her, she can call someone just to check to make sure that I'm okay and I'm safe. Yeah. So ladies in the academic office, I apologize if my mother starts ringing shortly.
Your mum is always welcome to phone, I'm sure. and you're very welcome at
Until she starts ringing you.
So you've landed well in Worcester, from what you were telling me. You know, what are your initial observations of the college?
Everyone's nice.
Why in particular do you find us friendly? I'm always interested to know.
When I came into Worcester, especially on my first days interviewing, the porters were really nice. I was jibber-jabbering at them around for ages. They had no idea who this lady was. I don't think for the first 5 minutes they knew I was there for an interview, but they were nice. And they were very friendly and they help settle my soul. And as you can probably tell, my soul is very excitable. So it was very nice. And then on the day that I arrived, the ladies in the academic office, they were super, super nice and friendly, showing me around. I then met Emma, the archivist, on my first day in the lunchroom. And she was the one that told me very firmly, don't work from home on Wednesdays. Best food day in the college. And I was like, that's the sort of information I need to know. We're going to be friends. And then she offered to take me on a tour of the college just to find out a little bit more. Yeah. And then I bumped into one of the scouts who I've seen every day the entire time I worked at the law faculty.
Right,
we walked past each other and we just said, hi, hi, no idea who you are, just on the street. And then I walked into West Street, I'm like, you're here? Yeah, I'm here. We're okay. Here. Excellent. It was just...
And your experience of either the law faculty or other colleges wasn't the same?
Law faculty, very friendly. Okay, the porters are the friendly. I remember my first day in the law faculty, I met Dan, who was wearing this gorgeous velour outfit, and he kind of exploded my expectations of what Oxford was going to be. And I think that's one of the things I enjoy, is everywhere can be possibly stereotyped, but you have to beware stereotyping of anyone or anything. I spent a whole lot of money on a brand new Oxford blue outfit, you know, was thinking, yes, I look the business.
You mean for your interview?
Yeah, that's for my interview, my jobs. And then I walked in and everyone was just like, oh, you look lovely. And they're just wearing just so casual and nice. And it's not about what you're wearing.
Sure.
It's about what you have to give.
Well, you've got very high energy, which is great. And, you know, it's a great addition to the college.
I will say the teachers think it's good for when they bring the students down from 3 hours down and they're tired. And then I'm there to welcome them with, and I know you guys can't see this, but a jazz hands and a little bit of my sparkle fingers when they're getting off the bus is a great way to perk up the energy just to make sure.
So what happens, you know, you're obviously an extrovert. And when you go home, do you crash or are you still like this at 11 o'clock at night?
If you ask my husband, he would probably say, I'm still like this at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, when are your moments of mindfulness?
I don't want to see everyone crashing my good zone, but I love walking in Wytham Woods. Oh, okay. And I think that is one of the best treats about being lovely, a member of the University of Oxford. Yeah. It's just on a Sunday, we'll go and maybe play tennis in the morning, and then we'll go home, have a nice breakfast, and then set out for like a 2-3 hour walk of Wytham Woods. In once it starts staying, gets a little bit light later on when I get home, I'll go and do a walk on the river in Abingdon for a couple of hours.
Zoe, this is like high energy all the time, just listening
to you.
Is
that high energy?
That's great.
It's just a nice walk.
Taking that high energy approach, I know, you know, you've already made yourself, you know, really established in college. You know, people are very enthusiastic about you and your arrival. So tell us what you've been up to and tell us about the outreach and access work you're doing.
Okay, so currently I'm absorbing all I can about Worcester, talking to as many people as possible. I'm still in the process of meeting different departments, different academics. If you're out there and I haven't accosted you yet, please feel free to pop in and see me, because everyone is very understanding that their time is precious.
Yeah.
So I consider myself a conduit of kind of a crucible of all the stuff that they tell me and kind of refining it into really short little bits that I can reassure students that we want them to know what are the milestones, the targets that we expect them to. Yeah. And a lot of people sometimes assume people know things that you don't know. And sometimes you don't know it until it's too late.
Yeah. In terms of our academics, it would be great for them to engage with you so that you've got a better idea of what they're looking for.
Yes.
But also in terms of applicants, clarity with them is really, really helpful. And I think we're doing a lot to try and demystify the whole process, aren't we? But we could still do more.
I think we're doing a lot, but there's no reason why we can't get the message out there more. And I'm a bit of a loud mouth, so I'm happy to be a bit of a speaker, just reassuring people, because I think I warn the students against, once again, falling for stereotypes.
Yes.
They'll have stereotypes about them, about myself, about Oxford as a whole. They're
about us all, who are associated with this elite university.
Exactly. Yeah. And the idea is beware the stereotypes and beware the hype. People assume Oxford, and straight away that puts up a block in their minds. And what I want to do is just kind of help get rid of some of that block, just to make things for them to consider it.
You're doing a lot of work with our partner schools in our regions. How do you encourage people, A, to think about applying to university, and B, you know, to Oxford in particular?
That's a good one. Okay, so I tend to oversimplify things because I followed the KISS method. Keep it super simple. And when it comes to students and applying, it can be broken down into different reasons why. And the main reasons are, I'm not going to be good enough. And that's either academically not good enough, or it's not the sort of place for me.
Yeah.
And the sort of place for me for a range of different reasons. And I think the first step is to addressing those two.
Yeah.
And then once you've kind of addressed it, opened up people's minds to have them realize, actually, the grades aren't so horrible and high. And it's not as scary as I thought it could be. Then helping them make the applications.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I say help you make the applications, it's not sitting down and doing this, but just kind of reassuring them, because Oxford has a very hard slog in the sense that if you have a school, a class size of, let's say, 30 plus students, what is the percentage of those students who will be looking to apply to Oxford, and how much time can a teacher actually dedicate to that one or two students who are interested but have to get their application process handled so early compared to everyone else? And it's that balance and also their knowledge of what's going to be involved, which I'm going to go slightly off piece, which is touching on something that I've spoken to Helen, our senior tutor, about, and a few other people about. It's about changing one of our school residentials to be a teacher residential and invite a group of teachers from the area down so that they can feel more comfortable in what they're saying about Oxford, and they have a bit of experience of familiarity with it. And so when they talk about it, it almost feels as natural as when they're talking about their own university or their own school experience. And it just becomes a natural part of the conversation.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Have we done that before?
I don't think that we've done it here before. I think one or two other colleges I've heard have dabbled in it. Yeah. And I know the law faculty has played with the idea of bringing teachers in.
Yeah.
But I think the school visits are good for inspiring perhaps that school year, maybe one or two from the year below, and like perhaps family members. Like, you know, if somebody did it and they came. Once you have that association, it builds up more. But I think with the teachers, because wherever they go, they can still carry that message
they
out
can
there.
Become powerful ambassadors.
Yeah, and the teachers really want to do well by their students, but a lot of them are hesitant because they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't want to give any misinformation to the students. And they get a little bit caught up in the hype of Oxford. And
do you think, talking to potential applicants, that there are any barriers that they are worried about?
I think the first one is the impression that you still need money to come to Oxford.
Right.
That's one of the first barriers that stops quite a few people.
From talking to students when they get here, I mean, there are very established stereotypes about Oxford, but Oxford is quite different to when I was a student. And do you think people understand that there is no barrier in relation to the kind of support that we provide for everybody from whatever socioeconomic background?
I don't think that message has got out there well enough.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely seeping out there. It's definitely crossing them, but it's not out there well enough. But I think once they engage with a college, a department, an access officer, an outreach officer, and they have the initial conversations, that they realize that that's not the issue that should stop them from applying.
Yeah. And so that's what you find, Zoe, you know, that once we can get people into college.
Very much so.
Once they've got used to, you know, these amazing surroundings, that they then feel more comfortable and more able to apply.
Yes, I think there's nothing better than when we're going on a college tour and we just see students around living their best life.
Yeah.
Okay, we walk around, we see lots of different students doing lots of different things. I want to just say thank you to the Ultimate Frisbee crowd, okay? You guys rock and you make some of my tours. When I'm out there going around, everyone expects everyone to be playing hockey or lacrosse, and then you guys are out there tossing it around. You're better than having Quidditch on that field any day. And everyone is so impressed. It's even little things like that. It's not what you expected it to be.
It's breaking down some of those very established stereotypes, which are no longer true.
All the stuff that you kind of like will hear on the news and you think are a little bit, ooh, that's weird, Oxford. I'm like, guys, just relax.
Yeah.
Realistically, look at your family. There's something weird or unusual that every family does, that if you told someone else from outside your family, they would look at you and go, what? And that's a lot of the stuff at Oxford. And I like pointing out once again, the tortoise race or college parents. It's so Oxford. But it's so nice, Oxford, and it's just like one of the quirky things, and it's not to be taken as anything elitist or too this or too that. It's just a weird thing that goes on in Oxford because we're all delightful little weirdos in our own way. I'm sorry if anyone doesn't think so, but remember, that's how I classify myself, you know, a little bit nice, a little bit strange.
Yeah, we've got lots of smart people who come from all sorts of backgrounds, who are interested in all sorts of different things, and we make up these interesting communities.
That's exactly what I tell the students. Oxford is just full of people who love their subject.
Yeah.
Other than that, you can't put them too much into any pigeonhole because they come from too many places, too many backgrounds, so many different... All they have in common is that they love their subject.
Yeah. So how do you encourage them to be, you know, more confident about applying? What's your secret?
I don't think I really have a secret. I repeat all the stuff my mom tells me.
Which is?
Think what's going to make a good student first and foremost. That's what you're applying to be. Is a student for a subject, and show people how you have those traits, ability, be proactive. And that's one of the biggest things I can recommend them to do because there are lots of opportunities there and everybody wants a proactive student. People want good students to teach and people who are interested in their subject, and being able to express that interest is the important bit. And also, KISS, keep it super simple.
Yeah.
The application process is not as complicated and as scary as it might seem, or people might want it to seem. And as long as you don't allow it to overwhelm you, and just remember, we just want to know about you and your interests for the subject. I tend to stay away from the word passion because sometimes people aren't passionate, but they're really interested in things. And I think sometimes the word passion scares me, but if you like your subject, and have a go. Sorry if that didn't really answer the question.
No, it did.
But
it did.
It's encouragement.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be here now if my mom didn't encourage me and push me to do stuff. Some people get upset when I say this. Oxford, it's a great university, but it's just another university. And it shouldn't allow the history, the glamour to stop you from coming. You should consider it as a great opportunity. If you like the tutorial system, if you're really interested in your subject, then have a go. Don't limit yourself right now. Lots of people are going to do that later on. Go for the big bite of the apple.
Yeah, good advice. And tell us about your other plans.
I'm very excited about stuff that we're going to be doing for the future with Worcester College and some of our outreach and access work. Quick big up to John Partington out there, because we're hopefully going to be going up to Bradford City of Culture 2025 and be doing some amazing things.
Great.
So if anyone out there in the Oxford community, the Worcester community, has connections with Bradford, whether through your work from living there or some future planning, please get in contact, because we're going to be doing some really good and exciting things. I'm quite excited about that for the future. We will be having our March residentials at the end of this month. We'll be welcoming 3 schools, and I'm very excited about that because that'll be my first residential in Worcester. So I will be staying in accommodation.
So tell us about that, Zoe. How does the residential work?
Okay, so our link regions is the Yorkshire and Humber.
Yeah.
That we have a lot of schools that travel a long way down. What we'd like to do is to offer a 2-day residential where we don't have to squish everything in. It's almost to kind of replicate a day in the life of a Worcester College student, where they will come, we'll welcome them, they'll have a college lunch, we will have a taster lecture, they will get tours of different colleges, Oxford, followed by the next evening activities in the JCR. They're supported by our student ambassadors. And then the following day, another taster lecture and a few bits. If anyone is interested, I'm still looking. Sorry, you can't see me making all my little hand gestures, but I'm still looking for any assistant for taster lectures. So please reach out to me.
So that would be what, any of our fellows who'd like to?
Any fellow, a graduate student who has like something that they would be interested in sharing. They're normally about year 10 age groups, and we're looking for something to challenge them a bit. Please reach out. So that's going to be really, really nice. And that's the one that next year I would like to swap over to a teacher's residential.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And then that's when I would love to have a few academics sit on panels.
Yeah.
So the teachers can ask some questions and they can just help familiarize themselves with the students. And then they have the confidence that they're not hearing this information second or third hand, but directly from the people who will be making
decisions.
That sounds
great. Sounds really good. And what other plans have you got, Zoe?
To the benefactors team, the development team, you're going to soon see me badgering you a little bit because I would like to work with on our student ambassadors. They do such amazing work for us. And let me, one, give another big up to Andrea Neville, the Junior Common Room Access Officer. She was one of the people that made landing into my role here super easy and super nice. But I think that we need to show our appreciation to the ambassadors who work and commit because we're one of the colleges that don't pay our ambassadors. And we don't want to be just willing making it rain for every reason, but I do think there are certain occasions that we could find ways to reward them, but also different ways to reward them by receiving some sort of recognition which they can add to their portfolios. And just a few little bits and bobs.
And that's certainly come up in my drop-in sessions that, particularly if it's outside term time, some students would really value getting some sort of financial recognition or some other form of recognition because otherwise they're giving up paid work.
Very much so. It's usually access students who will come in and do a lot of this access-based work to give back. And that's nice, but it benefits us all.
Yeah.
And therefore, we should all be contributing in some way, shape, or form. And so we need to make it fair for people who do contribute.
So we are looking at that.
Oh,
and,
and I can just say
considering
that across the college, everyone has been very positive about that.
Yeah.
They've never, there's not been like, oh, no, 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 we're not going to do that. Everyone has been positive about it. I just think it's someone has to take the time and to, come on, let's do it. And I'm happy to shout, come on, we'll do it.
Great. And anything else that you'd like to do that you haven't touched on?
There's so much I would like to do. Yeah. We could spend all day. What I'm looking forward to really doing is trying to get a roadshow perhaps set up for the Michaelmas term. Yeah. Because with Yorkshire and the Humber being our link region, it costs the students a lot to come down. Yeah. And unless they have a school bus or something like that, that then incurs a lot of additional costs.
Yeah.
And the schools that we're really trying to target don't have a lot of those additional funds. And so I think if we can go up there and we can bring Worcester to them, that is a really great kind of starting point to engage it.
Yeah.
Lots of little things happening, but I'm trying to control myself, not get too carried away, so I can complete things really, really well.
And so time is marching on. So any other final messages for anybody listening in about what you're doing, how they can help, and how we make this a very inclusive college?
Right now, as I said, still absorbing everything, trying to find out as much about Worcester, trying to find out what the college wants from me, what the college wants for us to work on and focus on, and just to get as much information possible so I can solidify some plans that give us what we want.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that Worcester has some really lovely, unique selling points that are really kind of, we could really big up a lot more. And the feel of the college, it's, the community here feels nice. Oh, and also, can I just say really, really quickly, to my catering staff, I love you very, very much, okay? Loving it. The garlic roast potatoes are some of the most amazing things I've ever had in my life.
Well, we do have amazing food, amazing colleagues, and
amazing
everybody
staff.
Works so hard. Yeah.
Amazing, amazing staff.
Great. Well, thank you for saying that. Zoe, thank you very much for all your insights and everything that you're doing for Worcester. We really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone listening to this week's Provcast. We're going to be in hibernation for a few weeks during the VAC, but as I said at the very beginning of this Provcast, I hope you have a good vacation, take some rest, and I look forward to interviewing more people on next term's Provcast. So have a very good Easter if you're celebrating Ramadan, I hope you celebrate your iftars in style, and I look forward to seeing you all next term.